Well, I don't know how many of you remembered, but this is the Wells family annual pilgrimage. So Dusty's not with us today because they have gone to have fun with the Wells family this week. And this is the Sunday they're gone. I do hope that and Dusty and Audrey will be back tomorrow. But you know, this for them has been kind of a particularly unique family gathering because Audrey's brother Keith had passed away not too long ago. So I just kind of encourage you to be thinking about the Reynolds family and the Wells family and praying for them because, you know, today is kind of the culmination of their time together. So if you just kind of remember them, pray for them today, I know that that'll make a big difference. Several things that I still need to pass along to you. We had so much to share with you this morning. One is for camp. There is still a great need for water and soft drinks and baked goodies. So if you can bring some of those things, you can leave them here. You can probably leave them in Georgetown. Just let us know when you're leaving them, where you're leaving them, so that we can make sure we gather them and they don't sit for any length of time to where they don't need to be exposed to the elements. But all those things are much appreciated and desired. Kids have a great time, and it's going to be hot. So we need a lot of water. They're done. 24 packs for $5 at Walmart, and you might find a better deal somewhere too. You just never know. But keep your eyes open, and all that's much appreciated. Also, Donahue family. Did we say anything about them earlier, and I just missed it? Some folks who were with us when we were back at Georgetown Southwest Community Church, the Donahues, they moved to Washington, and now they've moved back to North Carolina, but they're back with us today, and so it's just good to see them with us today. I'm going to talk, well, happy Father's Day, my turn, all you dads. I'm going to talk about Father's Day today from several different angles. Hey, hi Joe. I didn't know what all that was about. But we are going to talk about Father's Day from several different angles. One angle being that of the fact that we all had fathers. And so today as I share some things with you, you're going to be running that tape in the background. And that's okay. That's good. Also, many of us here today are fathers. And so you're going to be thinking about where you are today, who you are today, and that's going to be very much a part of what I get to share with you today. All that having been said, there will be aspects where I'm going to be talking to dads, and there's going to be aspects where I'm going to be talking to you, and I want you to think about what God's saying to you. So the beginning part, we're going to watch a video in just a minute of what kids say about, or what kids would say to dads. And then at the end, we're going to watch a video it's a music video, and I want you to put yourself in the place of God speaking to you as a dad, your dad. So, John, let's cue up that first one.
Dad, you don't know it right now, but I'm watching you. Watching the things you do. I'm watching the way you treat people. The way you treat me and my mom and my sister. The way you live your life is having a big impact on me. When it's time for me to choose a career and provide for my family, your work ethic will be on my mind. The time you spend with me, even doing simple things, will give me a sense of security. There will be times in my life where I struggle with integrity, and I may be not sure what to do. But I will recall how you stood up for what was right, even if you could have looked the other way. And if the choices you are making, I will also make. Please don't be afraid to show me your failures, to show me your mistakes. I will learn from them. Dad, are you listening? I'm watching. Watching to see if you really believe what you say about God. I need you to help show me the way. Show me how to live life that isn't safe, but is good. So I'm watching you, Dad, every day. You're teaching me how to live, whether you know it or not.
I don't think any one of us would want to quibble with the idea that there's probably never been a greater need for fathers and fathers to step up and be godly men than we have right now in the place and time that we live in. Because of that, we have to remind ourselves, and it's sad that we have to do this, we have to remind ourselves that being a father is not just a matter of being a biological contributor to the birth of a child. And being a father is not just being the one who provides for a social unit and makes sure that everyone is protected and cared for. It's more than just that. Being a father is more than just being a policeman or a judge when it's needed. It comes down to being courageous, because to be a father, it means you have to do the right thing. Because, like we saw in the video, there's people watching all the time. Your children, dads, need you to be involved in their lives, and not only that, the fact is it takes faith to be a father, to be a real father. So the question I have for everybody today on this Father's Day simply is there a hero in the house? Because in order to be a father, you have to be a hero. Fathering is too big a job to think that anyone can do it without help. To think that anyone can do it the way that God meant for it to be done without God being right in the middle of it. It's a heroic thing to be a father. So today, while I ask you this question, and while I'm talking, I want you to listen to all those movies playing in your head about your father. I want you to listen to all those things that you're telling yourself about your children, the way you deal with them if you are a father. And the fact is, it doesn't matter if you're a literal father or if you're just a spiritual father. Sometimes you may be both. Hopefully you're both. Because there may be people that you have fathered that don't even really have a connection to you physically, genetically. But yet you've poured your life into them. All these things are still true of spiritual fathers, just like fathers that have natural children. Whatever you need to be listening to today, I pray that you'll be doing that. So let's pause for just a minute and ask God to do that in our lives today. Let's pray. Lord, today, as I talk, I ask that what's going to be going on in the hearts of the people that you've brought to gather together today, that, Lord, the voice they'll hear is yours, and that, Lord, the things that need to be healed will be healed, or at least begun today in a process of healing, and that, Lord, the things that need to be remembered as joys will be remembered, and that, Lord, the things that need to be done, the challenges that need to be met, Lord, today would be a time for that to begin. So that, Lord, we can say that we are who you want us to be as fathers. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The bulk of what I'm going to share with you today is really just boiled down into five characteristics. And I'm going to kind of stop every once in a while, make a statement, tell a story, and move on. But I believe that honestly, if we look at these five characteristics, that we'll come to understand this is what fatherhood, this is what being a hero in the house is all about. And it's funny, yesterday as Regina and I were driving and we were talking, I was telling her a little bit about what I was going to share with you today, that the one thing she said, well, you left out leadership. And I said, no. I really think that if you look at these five characteristics, that this is leadership. These five characteristics, you're leading if this is going on. So let's look and ask the question, what makes dad a hero? The first characteristic is courage. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. There Paul said, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. This first characteristic, well, you know, the fact is, it just takes courage to set loving limits. And if you're going to be a father, a good father, a father that's like God the Father, who established loving limits, then we as dads, we have to step up to the plate and be courageous. You know, I've got a 15-year-old now who's not here today, so I can't talk about her a whole lot because it'll get back. See, I have to have courage, don't I? But the fact is, in order to speak to our children and set the limits that we have to set, so that they'll know that we love them and that God has, you know, God's smart. He knows what keeps us safe, right? And there are things He tells us we ought not do, not because He wants to rob our freedom, but because He wants to keep us safe. He wants to keep us away from things that would eat at our soul and change us so that we would have, instead of eternal life, we would basically have eternal death. And He doesn't want us to experience those things. So like that Father that we have in God, God wants us to establish loving limits, and it takes courage for us dads to do that. I'll be honest with you, I'll be the first one to say that I don't always do that well. I wished I did it much better. But it's something that we have to do. It takes courage to do it. If we don't, we end up with kids that are entitled. And you know right now, the culture is pretty darn well entitled, isn't it? Everybody thinks they just get what they get because they want it and they don't have to do anything to get it, right? We've got to stand up and set limits for our kids so not only are they safe, but they understand there's a right and there's a wrong, that they have to earn things sometimes. They can't just get it. And setting loving limits is a way to begin that dialogue and teach those lessons. Courage. Courage, dads. We got to have courage. It takes courage to discipline. Whenever the kids that we have been entrusted with step over those lines, and we have to teach them the lesson. We have to, in some way, give them a consequence. What does Hebrews say? I think Hebrews, if we look back in chapter 10, talks about God being a perfect father and how because He loves His children, He disciplines His children, every one of them that belong to Him, who are legitimate. And He does that because He loves them. We need to be that way too. We love our children. We've got to have courage and discipline our children in keeping with and not out of reaction to what they do. It takes courage to be honest, doesn't it? It's hard to be honest with your kids sometimes, isn't it, dads? If you read your devotional this week, sometimes we get in that habit of saying, because I told you so, or because I'm your dad, and there's times where that ought to be enough. But then there are other times where we're just being lazy, aren't we? We just don't want to go there. We don't want to take the time. That's not a good excuse before God. That's not being honest. So let's be honest, dads. When it's the right time to say, just because I tell you so, okay. But when it's not, let's not use it. It takes courage to do that. Because it's not easy. Because sometimes we have to go into areas of our lives that we don't necessarily want our kids to know about. So it takes transparency to be courage too, doesn't it? To have courage and demonstrate courage as being a dad. But it also takes obedience. Our obedience to God. When God shows us something that we ought to do, He tells us to do something we should, He speaks to us and it's clear as day, or He's spoken to us and it's clear as day, our obedience takes courage. Because sometimes He tells us to go places we don't want to go. He calls us to step out in ways we don't want to step out. And it takes courage to obey. Courage to be a hero in a home. What else makes dad a hero? Compassion. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul wrote, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with," what's the first thing he says there? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Compassion sets a dad apart, a man apart, as being a man who follows Jesus. There aren't many people demonstrating compassion out there these days. And when your children and my children see us being compassionate towards other people, it leaves an impression. The thing that my kids remember about Christmas these days, it's not necessarily me, but it's the fact that our family goes somewhere and takes care of the homeless. Having compassion leaves its mark. And whatever you might choose to do, whenever you choose to do it, dads, it will leave a mark. Being compassionate. One small action. I can't remember where the story was, but I remember hearing an interview on the radio over the last month. And a guy was telling a story about what about his father that he remembered that impressed. And for him it was when dad would always see somebody on the street corner, he would go give him a $5 bill. And he said, "You know, it's not that big a deal. It's not that much money. They need it. I don't." Now, whether that's what you need to do, I'm not trying to convince you that's the thing. But what that son saw his father doing was being compassionate. And it made an impression. And he tells the story today. Being compassionate and demonstrating compassion is contagious. It's infectious. Just like if you were here at 9:30, and if you weren't, you got to tell Dane to give you a copy of his movie. It's an old, movie produced by the Chevrolet Corporate GM, but it was kind of like one of those old Manners, ten-minute Manners movies that they made back in the 50s and in the 40s, about how to get along and behave well, and it's a great movie. You got to see it. I'm sure it's on YouTube if you have access to it. But the whole idea being, it's contagious when we do something that is compassionate, that is not expected, that breaks the norm. Because everybody else expects for you to spew. They expect for you to neglect and ignore people. Being compassionate stands out. Compassion is not a weakness, it's a strength. A hero has to have a heart of compassion because it's strength. It doesn't worry about what everyone else thinks. Compassion is tied to the capacity we see in this passage to forgive. It takes a great love to realize that someone else, even though they may have hurt you, is really just as susceptible to the things that you are as you are. You've been in their shoes. You've done the same thing they have. And sometimes whenever we get bitter and we get angry about someone who's hurt us, what we're doing is we're denying who we really are. We're not being upfront with ourselves. Because the reality is, that was just us 3 weeks ago, doing the same thing, making the same kind of mistake. And who am I if I don't forgive? Compassion. You and I, fathers, are more like Jesus when we demonstrate compassion almost at any other time. Because that's what Jesus did. He never judged. He was compassionate. He didn't like sin. He didn't call it anything else other than sin. But He forgave it. He dealt with it. Because He had a heart of compassion. Third characteristic. What makes Dad a hero? Humility. James, you could say the stepbrother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus, said, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up." We do the humbling, He does the lifting. We try to do too much of the heavy lifting, and we ended up getting humbled. The heroic acts that people remember in history. The funny thing is, those heroic acts are often accomplished by people who have a spirit of humility. Let me just pull a couple out of the most recent past. One, you remember the shooting in Fort Hood. There was a police officer. Do you know her name? The guy's shooting people everywhere. Entered into a graduation ceremony just at random. Killing, hurting. And this woman jumped up and went after him. And most people were going the other way. She got up and went towards the action. Her name, by the way, is Kimberly Munley. She's a hero. Humility. The reason you don't know her name is because she's not out there parading around. She did what she said she was trained to do. And that's what most police officers and firefighters and people in the military do. That's the way they carry themselves. It's humility. Secondly, you don't know the name of this person because I don't know the name of this person. Do you remember the shooting that took place at the University of Alabama in Huntsville? A professor literally lost her faculties and began shooting those who would denied her tenure. There's a faculty member there that was in that meeting that no one knows what their name is, who basically saved the lives of everyone else there. That person will not let their name be released. Humility. Dads, that's the kind of way we've got to live. God raises up people for His purpose. Humility is not self-deprecation. It's not "aw shucks." It's not "I'm not able." Humility means you place yourself in a position where other people are more important, and you do what's right, and you don't expect to get... I'm not picking on him. Okay, you remember the story about the guy who threw the no-hitter about 2 weeks ago, okay, up in the Midwest? Okay, the umpire called the guy safe and he was really out. The next day the guy gets a car because he got someone gives him a car. Okay, humility doesn't take the car. Humility is the umpire saying, "I was wrong." And that's what we dads have to do. That's humility. That makes someone a hero. It makes a dad a hero. Humility is seeing yourself as God sees you. Fourth characteristic. holiness. First Peter said, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it's written, be holy because I'm holy." This is a characteristic that our culture is doing absolutely everything that it can to eliminate. There is no such thing as holiness in our culture. You can be good, you can be kind, you can be right, but don't you dare be holy. And I'm here to tell you today, dads, potential dads, this is the one thing you cannot let get eliminated from your vocabulary and from your lifestyle. A desire to be holy. Holiness refuses to compromise with sin in any form. It is ruthless with sin. Holiness puts purpose over pleasure. The purpose that God has established for you and me as dads is more important than anything that we can do for ourselves. The call to be holy is not a call to be perfect, but it's a call to be like Jesus. Jesus will do the perfecting. It's a matter of, are we willing to entertain the fact that anything we can do that would keep us from being like Jesus is something we can do without? That's holiness. Striving for that. Expecting nothing else except for being like Jesus. Holiness requires great strength and courage. And holiness is not the same as spiritual arrogance. No one's talking about being arrogant here. We've talked about humility. We're talking about holiness. We're talking about being set aside, set apart, unique, and pure for the purpose of God. And quite frankly, too often we excuse our sin, and this is everybody, not just dads, but dads, it's more important for us. Not because I say so, but because God's made you who you are. And He's put you in the situation that you're in. That we too easily excuse our selfishness. And we too easily excuse the sins that no one sees. And we think that they're not important and that they don't affect anybody. And that's a lie. Every sin affects someone more than just you. Even the ones that people don't see. And if God doesn't get our attention, men, fathers, we are going to reap the consequences. And the good news is that repentance is right there before us. And that it's open and free and available. And any day, any time we choose, God is willing to allow us to turn to Him and make us holy. Let's pursue holiness. Let's not put up with sin. Let's not excuse it. Let's not let it infect our kids. And lastly, self-sacrifice. It's what makes a dad a hero. Paul wrote, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." And here's the example. "Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." A man who will follow Jesus cannot abrogate, neglect, ignore the call to self-sacrifice. Sacrifice, I'm going to throw myself out there and say, sacrifice is what makes men men. And when we don't sacrifice, we are not who God made us to be. Especially when it comes to our wives and our children. Personal sacrifice is how your family and how other people see Jesus in you most clearly. So if we're not sacrificing, and all we're doing is pursuing hedonistic pleasures, or all we're doing is being selfish, or all we're doing is what we want to do, guess what? People don't see Jesus in us. Well, I'm to the end. I don't have a lot more to say. God's put that on my heart. I don't know if you've had other things going on in your head or in your heart as I've spoken. I want you to know that if God said something to you that didn't have anything to do with me, that's fine. I can live with that. The important thing is that you're letting God speak to your heart today and that you're here before Him. As we finish, I want you to hear this song that you're going to listen to in just a minute. And it does have little video to it, but the important thing is what it says to you and me about how much God loves us and about His purpose for us. I want you to listen to it prayerfully. And I want the response that you make today to be that comes genuinely out of a heart that is set before God. So you listen. As the song plays, if you want to go ahead and move to the altar and that's what you want to do to respond, that's fine. I want the life group leaders, if you guys would, during the song, get up and move to the sides. And if you need somebody to pray with you, they'll be there for you. However God moves you to respond, I want you to do that. And also, you've got the cards. If there's something that God's just impressing on you and you need freedom from or you need healing from, please put that on the card. And we'll pray with you about that this week. John, let's begin.
Cause I bear enough, enough to make you feel the power. Oh, 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 oh. Your Father.
Kenny and Gary, if you guys, musicians, come on. As we sing, you know that we've got the baskets in back, the baskets in front. If you want to bring an offering, put your cards in there, that's fine. We're going to sing this few minutes together. And again, there will be people around for you to pray with if that's what you need to do today.
My wonderful life, almost perfect from the outside. Picture frames, I see my beautiful wife, always smiling. But on the inside, I can hear her sing. Lead me with strong hands, stand up. Don't leave me hungry for love, chasing dreams. But what about us? Show me you're willing to fight, that I'm still the love of your life. I know we call this our home, but I still feel their innocent eyes, they're just children from the outside. I'm working hard, I tell myself they'll be fine, they're independent, but on the inside I can hear them sing. Lead me with strong hands, stand up when I can't. Don't hungry for love, chasing dreams. But what about us? Show me you're willing to fight, that I'm still the love of your life. I know we call this our home, but I still feel alone. Father, give me the strength to be everything I'm called to be. Oh, Father, show me the way to lead them. Won't you lead me to lead them with strong hands to stand? They can't, don't wanna leave them. Hungry for love, chasing things that I could give up. I'll show them I'm willing to fight and give them the best of my life, so we can call this our home. Father, lead me, 'cause I can't do this alone. Father, lead me, 'cause I can't do this alone.
I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And if you're near a dad, would you put your hand on a dad? Everybody get your hand on a dad. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we come before you today. We don't claim perfection, but Lord, we claim in your name that we would be people who would be after your heart. And that, Lord, those of us who are dads, that you would bless us, that we would be a blessing to our families, and that we would be a blessing to you. And that, Lord, we would be a blessing to others. That, Lord, your kingdom would grow because our hearts belong to you. Lord, I pray that we would not have any patience at all with anything unholy, but that, Lord, we might seek you with every bit of our being. Lord, I pray that this is what our children will see. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.